the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's that time of the morning that we discuss affairs of business, economics, trade, geopolitics, and everything that, affect the bread and butter, what we eat at home. How are you? Where are you finding yourself? And how is the Friday of the 13th of March, 2026? And the good thing about life is that we are always being told, particularly science have proven that, life is what you put out of it and what you get out of it. And the other thing is that somebody asks you if you think it's going to be a very beautiful day and somebody thinks it's going to be a bad day, whatever you think, it may be right. That's why it's always very important to make sure that whatever we feel in our mind, whatever we create, our hope and futuristic thinking with must be positive, so that in terms of laws of attraction, life will end up the way you create it. Because there is a saying to say everything that you see was created in the image, was in the mind of an individual before it's being presented. That's why if you think it's going to be a very beautiful day, always telling my colleagues that it's going to be great. But indeed, it's going to be great if you believe in that. But it's more than believing. You have to do work toward that greatness that you are moving toward into. Make sure that even in this morning, you do the best that you can do, so that you get the best out of the day. And like any other day, we like starting with global affairs, so what is happening around. And we see that there is no other news than war. But that is not the only news. But also to see that, all the parties fighting in the Middle East also understood that it will not always be a long war. Because war is never fought and is never won based on prolonging the war. But people are seeking quick victory. But it seems like parties about to come to the conclusion of the war, about to come to the negotiations, particularly looking at the fact that talks have started, and everybody want to declare the winner. But let's see, let's hope that will be brought to the final conclusion. But it's actually a division even among the Middle East countries. There is division in terms of the support of the war. And Turkey, being one of the great allies of United States, the president of Turkey really showed disappointment. Really showed disappointment, especially from Israel. And looking at that, he indicated that Benjamin Netanyahu is the greatest disaster since the Holocaust. And speaking at the Infanta dinner with AK party in Accra on the 11th March, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has criticized Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, said that even Israel in shelters describes him as the greatest disaster since the Holocaust. And Erdogan has also indicated that Turkey is very clear in the stand of war in Iran, and indicated that there must be effort for ceasefire and preventing fight that could add a regional war. And you start understanding that once conflict starts, you realize to see the position and stand of people. And You must be able to realize that the president of Turkey have been a great ally of the United States. And he's been also a strongman in that region. He was noted to be the victor, particularly after the end of the war in Syria, after Assad was ousted. But it seems like he's also looking at the interests of long-term, especially when it comes to that war. And today, especially from the hour of 7:30 there, we'll be able to listen to the conversation. Be able to listen to the conversation from Kulani Energy Chief Operation Officer, that is Memetinga Nethanani, that should be able to join us. Particularly, we'll be able to listen to the conversation from the hour of 7:30 there, especially when you are going to talk about, or when the conversation will be about unlocking Africa potential with renewable energy. Especially in the world of contestation in terms of energy. But you'll be able to listen to that conversation, especially where we speak about renewable energy. We are speaking and indicating that when it comes to countries such as Namibia, it has been indicated that even from World Economic Forum, even UN, even Crime and Investment Fund has agreed that Namibia is a country with a potential for renewable energy, either is green energy, such as green hydrogen, either is solar energy, either is hydro. To say we have potential looking into the future, looking at 2050, if we are investing in our renewable energy, we have that potential. Yeah, that's why when you look at what has been presented, particularly with 250 million US dollars on the table for Namibia to take, especially those that are dealing with decarbonization project, you must be able to realize that the potential in Namibia is still there. And the question is that, is potential what is going to give us bread and butter, or our ability to utilize that potential? So we'll be able to listen and also compare. And let us look at what is happening in the continent of Africa. Then we'll also be able to look at what's happened there in South Africa, especially when the Minister of International Relations in South Africa has briefed the nation regarding geopolitical development and also the relationship between South Africa and also United States of America. Especially when he indicated that they gave the minister, the ambassador of United States of America to South Africa, the benefit of the doubt. They gave him a benefit of the doubt, and they are trying to rebuild those relationship. Especially after the ambassador made some remarks which are not in line with his profession, which are contradicting the political system of South Africa. But we'll be able to listen to Leonard Ramora, especially when speaking about the relationship between South Africa and also United States. Stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipurane ngelo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opo.
Yeah, you'll be able to listen to Ronald Ramora, the Minister of International Relations in South Africa, especially when he was briefing the media regarding geopolitical development, especially looking at the context too of relationship between South Africa and the United States of America. As you understand that for over 2 years now, there will be no good relationship between South Africa and the U.S. They've been expelling, ambassadors. They've been summoning each other. They've been, diplomatic conundrum. There was even a point where, instead of handing over the G20 instrument of power at the professional level, at the standard where it has been for many years, they have to downgrade the transfer, where it's only officials who are transferring the instrument of power. Where it was supposed to be transferred based on, president to president. But we also see that, looking at this year, South Africa is not invited at G20. It's not invited at G20, which is going to be hosted in, a G20 summit, which is going to be hosted in United States of America. But, it seems like South Africa also willing to build a relationship. But, it also teaching you professionalism to say, we may have different views about certain countries interacting with Namibia, but one thing that we need to understand is that keeping the relationship is good. And the relationship of countries is the same as a relationship of people. To say you may have a friend or you may have people that you know, but you don't necessarily need to like everything that a person is doing. You don't need to like everything that a person is like, but you must have that mutual relationship. That mutual beneficial relationship. That is the same with South Africa and the U.S. And also Africa and the U.S. Africa need the U.S. The U.S. need Africa. But we don't agree in a lot of things. But there are levels where we can say, here, this is where we draw the lines. This is where we deal with each other. That is why, even in terms of trade, when we speak about let us move to the East, who said the East is the only better place? When somebody say, no, let's go to EU, let's go to the northern part of the world, who said they are the only better people? Somebody say, no, let's deal with the US or the Western, US to be in particular. It's not like that. There is always things that we do not like about certain countries, but that does not mean that we should not be in relationship with them. But what is necessary is also is how we manage those relationships and also to what extent. There are things that you can tolerate, and there are also things that you can say, no, here, you guys are exploiting us, or here, you guys are undermining us, here, we are drawing the line. But it's always an issue of give and take. That is why, when the ambassador of, USA was demarched, on Wednesday, was given a warning, but, they also come to the point that he apologized too, because, if he was expelled, like what happened to the ambassador of Israel, it would be another disaster, especially when it comes to trade and relations. That's why diplomacy will always teach us a lesson to say relationship matters. They don't need to be perfect, but they need to be managed to a certain extent. That's why we always need to draw those lines to say, until the person crosses this line, we are still going to work with this person, but until the person crosses certain lines, that's why Ronald Ramora is managing crisis there in South Africa. He's managing crisis. The citizens are calling for the blood. EFF is here calling for the blood. He's here calling for expulsion of the ambassador and all the political pronunciation. But you must be able to understand at the end of the day to say, is that temporary anger going to really solve the problem moving forward? Or if that anger is managed, can also be able to bring about certain results. So let us look at Ronald Ramora, especially briefing the international media and speaking about what happened.
To think you are his person on the inside, you and others, but you...
The theme was, and it still is, advancing industrialization, agricultural transformation, and energy transition for a draft agenda and report to the Council of Ministers. This will feed in into all the other sectoral meetings that my colleagues and counterparts will hold here in South Africa and in Zimbabwe. Because of the unique nature of the interim chairing now of SADC, which we had to take over, we have agreed to share this responsibility with Zimbabwe. Our U.S. relations, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation has noted recent public remarks made by the United States Ambassador to South Africa. While South Africa welcomes active public diplomacy and the strengthening of bilateral ties, we emphasize that such engagements must remain consistent with established diplomatic etiquette and international protocols. In this regard, we have called in the Ambassador of the United States, Ambassador Bozzelli, to explain his undiplomatic remarks. And in his engagements and visits to various sites in South Africa, including the Apartheid Museum, District 6, and other historical places, in the engagements he acknowledges that given our history, South Africa needs redress and is willing to work with us constructively in this regard.
Yeah, that is what have happened, especially in terms of giving an apology. And sometimes apologizing is not cowardice. It's not being coward apologizing. If you have done a mistake, it's always good to apologize. It happened everywhere. Sometimes the tongue just, or you just miss out, or you are just off the lane. And it's always good to apologize, especially when it comes to building of relationships. There are people who do not apologize. There are people who are willing to go to their grave without apologizing, and that have destroyed a lot of relationships. And this guy understood also, and I don't think it would also be good for Trump to see that relationship being thrown away. I think he also weighed the options and realized to say, sometimes it's good to apologize when you have done something wrong or when you have said something that you are not supposed to say. People always understand that people may hold their personal views, but in terms of the ground of professionalism, it's always necessary to make sure that, you apologize and acknowledge your mistake, and it's easier for that relationship to continue. And it's not only about diplomatic relations, it's not only about business and trade. And also in the love affairs, there are people who don't apologize. There are people who do not apologize. And not really to say to be direct, somebody gave an example to say, in a relationship, if a female is wrong, you are also wrong. If she's right, you can still be wrong. And to that extent, waiting for an apology from there, it will be very difficult. But I don't think it's applied across the board. But just also understand that as human beings, we must be able to apologize and acknowledge mistakes. Because if you have a friend, if you have a business partner, if you have somebody who is always a victim. I'm always telling individuals to say, if you're always a victim of trouble and challenge every day, you must be able to understand that you might have a problem that you do not want to acknowledge. Because if I'm always finding myself in trouble every day, I must really look at myself and say, I think there must be really something that I'm not doing right. Because that could indicate that you're also failing to apologize. But apologizing and acknowledging the mistake, like what the president, the ambassador of America have done in SA, it's good. And you must learn from that too. And we must really learn from that. Yeah, looking at Senegal. Senegal parliament, double penalty for gay sex. The parliament of Senegal on Wednesday passed a legislation doubling the maximum penalty for same-sex relation, making them punishable by up to 10 years in prison amid the crackdown of country's gay community. And the Parliament of Senegal indicated that if you find yourself operating in that lane, they are not going to tolerate it. That's why media has indicated that, you know, they've arrested dozens of men under the country's anti-LGBTQ laws since Friday, when police arrested 12 men, including two local celebrities, at the start of the recent destination. That is what happened in Senegal. If they find you, if they catch you operating on that ground, Parliament say they are not going to accept that, and it's punishable. And it's also an additional fine that include 2 million. Includes up to 10 million KFA. And also, that is also equivalent to $3,500 to $17,000. And that is what's happening, especially when it comes to the African continent and the laws. They indicate to say, if you are found in Senegal operating into that terrain, they are not going to accept it, and you find yourself in jail and been fined that amount of up to $17,000. Moving forward, when it comes to the continent of Africa, you must be able to see that it's trouble after trouble, it's challenges after challenges, death everywhere, and terrorists everywhere, the Central Africa, in the eastern part of Africa. You understand that the Horn of Africa there, Ethiopia and Eritrea, they are still not in good standing. And you will also be able to understand that reports are indicating that citizens in the Tigray region, they are flocking out because of the possibility of military engagement between the militia and also the government of Ethiopia armed forces. And that is what's happening in that side of the Horn of
ShopRite's price roundown is here for 1 week only, where saving is winning. Save up to 40% on homeware, small appliances, outdoor and groceries. Like 24-liter Essentials mini oven, only 900 Namibian dollars. And 470 mils freehand colored base, can-shaped glass, for only 15 Namibian dollars each. Offers valid until 15 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anyway. And choose to replace worn out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
its staff.
My friend,
why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And understand that the Villager newspaper for today is out. And make sure that you read and get the content and context of the paper. And from the hour 7 there, we'll be able also to give you a briefing and content of what is in the Villager newspaper. For now, let us look at Iran before there. And before we go to Iran, I think it's quite important also to look at the development. However, we can okay, let's look at what the Supreme Leader, the new Supreme Leader, have said. Then we'll also be able to look at the content of the conversation for today, especially when we're going to look at the issue of energy. And you look at the short briefing of what have happened yesterday when Electricity Control Board has reopened or inaugurated its newly renovated building, and also launch of its 5-year strategic plan, 5-year integrated business strategic plan, 2026 to 2031. And you also be able to understand that there are major ambitions set, especially by Electricity Control Board, especially when it comes to electricity, when it comes to affordability, and also when it comes to what the institution is striving to do. And also be able to get that content, especially after looking at this news. It was stated that, looking at Iran, it was stated that the newly elected Supreme Leader has issued a public statement, where he indicated that there will be deadly strike and asked for revenge, particularly 4 days after being named Iran's new Supreme Leader. It was stated that Mojtaba Khamenei has issued his first public statement, and that followed the deadly strike that killed his father, Ali Khamenei, and also several members of his families. And the message indicated on state television indicated that, you know, they will not refrain from avenging the blood of their former Supreme Leader, and adding that every Iranian killed by the country's enemies would be treated as a separate case in what he described as a broader campaign of retribution. And really, I think you must also be able to understand that the structure and the leadership of Iran is giving same communication but with different tone. When you listen to the president of Iran, he giving indication to say they are willing to talk, they are fighting, but there are conditions. But if you look at the statement of the Supreme Leader, you'll be able to indicate that he's also showing that providing revenge is not yet done. But let's see what will happen in days to come. And when you also listen to the spokesperson of the Revolutionary Guard, is indicating that there is no even going to be a liter of oil that is going to pass through the Hormuz Strait. But we are yet to see what are some of the developments. So that is what's happening. Let us look at a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll look at what happened yesterday, especially at the launch of ECB, Integrated Business Strategic Plan, 2026 to 2031, and also to look at what the CEO have to say, and also what the Minister of Industries, Mines, and Energy, Minister Modesto Samtse, what he had to say, especially at that event. It was concurrent with inauguration of a new building, new ECB building in Windhoek, and also to look at the newly revamped building that can accommodate around 90 staffs. And it's also stated that it's revamped with advanced technology to allow innovation. And also people are wishing and they are hoping that the electricity price at one point may be able to come down, especially when you look at it against the price of the cost of electricity. And also to look at what have we done, what have changed for the past 5 years, what have changed, especially when it comes to the communication from the ECB, communication from independent power producers, communication from the citizens, and also communication from the ministry. And also to put into perspective, because you have two documents here. There is NDP-6. There is also a plan from the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy that is looking at electrification or connectivity of 70% of households by 2030. Then you also look at connectivity and affordability. Then you compare the two cuts, because really, if there is one of the things that people complain about, especially young professionals, is the aspect of the cost of electricity, is the cost of energy. We have spoke. But when you also look at NAMPOWER, NAMPOWER's reasoning is always very clear to say this is what we need. NAMPOWER is always proposing increment. And you understand also to say that we are not getting electricity at a cheaper price. When South Africa is stable, when South Africa is selling, we are not getting electricity at a cheaper price. That is why those are really things that we'll be looking at, especially when you are going to give you a short briefing of what have happened yesterday. And the price of electricity is a concern to everybody, because you can't build, you can't industrialize without energy. And also to look at what the CEO have to say, especially with renewable energy. And also start to get a picture, especially when it comes to African leaders in the energy sector. When it comes to renewable energy, when you also come to the mainstream energy sources such as coal, and when you look into that, you realize to say, yes, Africa, we want to use renewable energy. Africa, we are planning to use renewable energy, but not in compromising of what is existing. Not compromising what is existing. Because if you also have to compare what Gwen Matashe have said, and it's my favorite experienced minister in that sector. He's an honest guy to say coal is also critical minerals, because you cannot be told which one is a critical mineral. Coal is also a critical mineral. And when you also listen to Dr. Ramakgopa, the Minister of Electricity, who is indicating to say, yes, we may speak about renewable, which is a very good thing, but not to compromise what is existing now, what is powering schools, what is powering hospitals, what is holding the economy. But that is a conversation that we are going to enter, especially after this short commercial break. And also to draw your perspective to say, what is the best option that Namibia can do? What is the best option that Namibia can take, especially if it wants to approach this sector of energy in, not to say in an understandable manner, when you have to approach this sector of energy to find real solutions to the cost of electricity At the same time, also, we also keep in mind our national environmental agenda, where at the same time also, we also keep in mind the issue of environmental sustainability, because there are two things scientists may differ, climate activists may differ, but it's one thing to differ when you have a strong, solvable alternative that is sustainable.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we continue with the conversation, especially when you're going to touch a little bit of what have happened yesterday, especially at the ECB, and also to look at the direction of the price of electricity. What are our leaders saying, and where are we standing, and where are we going? Yeah, there is, at the launch of the Integrated Strategic Plan for 2026-2031 by ECB, there are key things that one will be able to note out, to say, apart from the launch of the Integrated Strategic Plan and also the inauguration of the building. there is always a concern, and this is what people have been and continue asking, and also to say, when is the price of electricity going to come down? When are we going to have the price of electricity coming down? Now, looking at what the CEO of ECB has said, that is Tate Kaimisi. He's a very experienced person in that industry. But he was honest. What he indicated is that, you know, regulating is not a likable business, because you are balancing the cost of electricity that you are buying and also the cost of electricity that you are selling to the people. At the same time, you are also putting in mind the need of the citizens. That is very clear. That is also what everybody wants. But how much is the cost of electricity within the region that you are finding yourself? Where are you buying from? Do you know the reason you are buying the electricity at that price? Do you know what are some of the costs involved for you to come to that point? And one of the things which is stated is that Namibia continued to be with that burden of importing 40% to 60% of electricity from outside. However, one of the things that the strategic plan indicated as presented, not as what we see, as it's presented to say, they are striving to have sustainable electricity supply and also quality electricity supply in Namibia. Then there comes the issue of renewable energy. The CEO has indicated to say, if Namibia can displace the very expensive imports with local generation, that would be better. And also catering for intermittency, unpredictability of renewable energy, because when you have solar, it's not always that there is sun. There is always an aspect of unpredictability, particularly in comparison to the guaranteed operation of coal. Because integrating them with cautious is also necessary, because we also need to transit to say, are we going to depend on this? For how long? Yes, it's renewable, but how much is contributing? Solar is good in Namibia, but it's not done to that extent of challenging the demand of electricity in Namibia. You know, Namibia is called semi-arid condition, semi-arid area. And it's also a country with an oldest desert in the world, that is Namib Desert. And there is prediction to say, if you can put solar panels there, you may complement the grid of electricity what's operating. But was it utilized yet? Because as we are speaking now, when it comes to buying of electricity, you will be shocked of ongoing proposals too. You will be shocked because what is very clear is that as long as we are not doing anything about it, as long as we are not expanding at a fast pace, ECB will not protect us. They will not protect us. Because that is very clear to say, as long as we are not expanding, as long as we are not putting alternatives, as long as we are not exploring other avenues of producing our own electricity, ECB will not protect us. Because their job is to regulate. It's a regulator, it's not a supplier of electricity, it's a regulator. It's like a referee. It's like a referee. And it's like you expect BON to improve the Namibian economy if you don't have policies that are allowing business to thrive. It's like that. They are regulating. It's like you expect an Nafisa to make business easy, or to allow insurance companies to invest more in the country when the legal framework is not allowing that, because they are just regulating. If there is a proposal tomorrow by NAMPA to say we are increasing electricity with 28%, they can negotiate this, they can negotiate, they can balance things, but there's nothing they can do. We have seen what happened in 2024. We've seen what was proposed and what ended up happening. But the question is that, did that thing just came now? But there's also one thing that one must also admit, and everybody has also admitted that when it comes to the disruption of electricity, Namibia is a good case study. That there was never really a disruption. Maybe if we have a load shedding, it's for 30 minutes or 1 hour. But in other countries, even those who were supplying to us, they can go for load shedding for 8 hours. Load shedding in South Africa. But ask yourself a question. Why South Africa had load sheddings those years, but we never had, even if we depend majority of our imports from them? Because we are giving them money. We are giving them a lot of money. And I'm always jealous when I hear that Eskom started making profit. My question is that, was that profit internal made, or was that profit just because we buy from them? Because we are growing every day. The more we expand, if we are saying we are building, we need electricity. If we are saying we are fixing things, we need electricity. Every building in any town is powered by electricity. Ask yourself this question. Yes, we spoke about renewable energy. How many towns are powered by renewable energy? How many village councils, currently as you are speaking, just powered by renewable energy? Can we try maybe a pilot to say, okay, there is a new village council, let's see if we can just power it with solar only. If we can just power it with solar energy only. So we start from there, then we see. Yes, there are initiative. I see Shakati Premier, I've also projects on heading with solar energy. But the question should always be to say, to what extent is renewable energy being seen out there? We have tried, people have tried, they have spoken, they have presented, but are we seeing it visible now to complement the very expensive energy that we are buying from outside? That is what has been stated. But interestingly, the Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, Temodesu Samtse, at the launch indicated that apart from acknowledging the 20 years of existence of ECB and their leadership consistency, which we should all agree, because when something is done correctly, especially when it comes to consistency in terms of leadership, that one I can also agree to say. There was never chaos in the ECB. It has been one of the most stable institutions in its leadership. But the question that he poses is that are we ready for leadership transition? Are we still to see things operating like this? Imagine a case study where you have Namdia acting CEO, you have Namco acting CEO, acting MD, then you have ECB acting MD, CEO, just for example. Then you have these bigger projects running. How is the country going to be? But one thing that the minister have asked, and it's a very good question, especially, and I think it was really asked from the very good point to say, are we going to see this consistency, or is only consistency because there is leadership? Because if there is consistency within an institution, even when a leader is gone, or a leader is got another responsibilities. That institution is not only resembling his character, but it should be, the consistency should be seen even within the institution, that even if somebody have left, there is still consistency in terms of the way things are. Yes, they negotiated. They have improved. They are complying with PEGA Act. And it's one of the few institutions that you really hear about any conflict in terms of governance. But is it going to be the case for the next, is this going to be the same institution? Are we still going to see the same pace until 2030? Until we realize the NDP 6 and the SWAPO implementation action plan? Are we still going to see that consistency? Are we still going to see transition? But let's see what will happen moving forward. And the other thing that that AMSA stated is he showed optimism, and it's very good to be optimistic about anything, because that is operation from the positive mindset. He said 80% electricity connectivity by 2030 is possible. She said it's possible. The possibility is not a problem. The problem is the cost. The possibility of electrifying Namibia, I don't think it's a problem, because when I went to Sesfontein, I was asking myself to see. But I think when it comes to development, when you look at those electricity lanes and infrastructure, you really see that the development of Namibia is expanded, no matter thousands and thousands of kilometers. So have you ever traveled and asked yourself that the development is also on this side? Then when you come to a place, then you look at institutions that are using electricity, then you look at the people that are there, then you are always asking yourself a question to say, even if these people have electricity cutting through their houses, are they able to afford it? Do they have economic means? Because infrastructure development alone cannot be seen as anything without human development. Because if you electrify the whole village and nobody can afford electricity, people start cutting those copper wire, then they sell. Then you think people are not correct. People want to survive first before electricity. Have you ever seen, there was a guy who was I think arrested 5 times. Was there in Kahanja Park. His job is just cutting, you know, those copper wire from electricity, cutting all the infrastructure. Even after release from prison, he went to cut in there. Somebody says sometimes when you are poor, you don't think properly. Because even something which is really helping you, you think it's a fast way to hustle. Maybe you can cut out those copper wire, then start selling, getting 500 Namibian dollars from his scrapers. To him, that is survival. Then you start understanding that we really have a problem. That, yes, give me infrastructure, but give me the means to survive. That question can also come to the point now of, human development opportunities. To say, yes, we want electricity. Yes, we want to be connected to the grid. Yes, we want development. But are we participants in those development? And you end up thinking that no, people are crazy. I give them electricity. They start cutting out the copper wire. They start, you find people, they demolish those electricity infrastructure. Then they start building their house with those materials. Then you'll be shocked to say, what's wrong with a human being? What's wrong with an African? I give you infrastructure, we destroy infrastructure, and then you go build. Have you ever seen? Have you ever seen a gate of somebody's yacht with just a long of, or maybe with just a material or an element that is taken from, you know, these road signs, indicators. People just demolish and start building their house, and you're asking yourself why. Maybe because the person is not empowered. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but that will also contradicting our goal to say we look more into buildings, we look more into infrastructures. And we should continue asking these questions too, to say, okay, even if you extend the conversation to say, okay, we've always been speaking about infrastructure such as soccer stadiums, other infrastructure to allow sports to take place. But even if you bring about those things and the aspect of human development is not improved, people will still find it very difficult. Because a hungry person is an angry person, and it's a person who cannot concentrate. That is why, especially from that aspect, to say, if ECB is doing its job, who is not doing his job to make sure that it's not only about compliance, it's not only about connectivity, it's not only about issuing licenses, but it's also about affordability. Who is not doing his job? And what really touched my heart is the issue of policies. There's always an aspect of policies which have to go through, which have to be reviewed. And my question should always be, when it's come to energy, how are those policies? When it's come to amendments of, policies within the energy sectors, how are they going to go through parliament? When is the parliament going to prove us right? Because remember that there's congestion in terms of which policy should be released first, which one should be passed first. You have mental health bill, you have PEGA, we have public procurement, you have oil or petroleum amendment bill, and many others in the pipeline. And the positions are saying we must scrutinize first, but the question is when. If we achieve 80% electrification by 2030, where are we going to be in terms of our human development? Where are we going to be in terms of our inequality? Because providing infrastructure is one thing, improving the standard of living is another thing. But yeah, let us also not delay infrastructure development. Because we must always just find a parallel way of upgrading infrastructure, at the same time upgrading human beings. Because you can bring best offices in or best infrastructure in the village, but if a person is not empowered, they will just look at them like museums, because they do not understand the utilization of those infrastructure, or they are never given an opportunity to develop. Because the main problem that we have now, and where the solution should look into, is human development. That is number one. And when we are done with human development, or when we work parallel human development with infrastructure development, then we have to reach a certain point. Because inequality is not only manifesting in every day that you look at people. Inequality is there standing. It's a monster that we have to deal with every day. Inequality is being seen. And I was always speaking, and I was speaking with, and it's from the good point, really, to say, for example, there are cases of elephants coming into villages, and people end up become victims. Particularly, people end up engaging with these wild animals unknowingly. Then when you come to the point of realizing, to say, sometimes you think we are civilized until something comes into our surroundings. maybe it's the first time a person seeing that elephant closer. Maybe it's the first time. Maybe the person is touching and seeing that elephant closer. That's why you have infrastructure, you have institutions, you have national parks such as Etosha. But how many Namibians went to Etosha in terms of numbers? You will be shocked, né, if you look at the statistical, how many, just for example, né, how many people from Germany know Etosha very well, and how many people from Namibia know Etosha very well. Look at in terms of percentage. What is the relationship between them and their God-given natural resources? Because I'm always telling people to say, Etosha is ours, and all other conservancies is ours. Those are our animals. We are in the same house, but we are sitting at different, we are sleeping at different rooms. We are not the same. And that is what inequality can do to you. It manifests in a lot of things. So, 7 minutes past the hour, or it's 8 minutes past the hour of seven. We are going to look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to look at what is in the Villager newspaper for today. From there, we'll look at our guest, especially when she is going to speak about renewable energy. We'll look at Kulani Energy, Chief Operating Officer, that is Tinga Netanani, when we'll be speaking about unlocking Africa potential with renewable energy and what we can do moving forward. And really, if there is scope this year, Africa must be paid more money, especially with what they are doing in the Middle East, because we don't have control over the atmosphere. We also don't have control over containing chemical situation, because if somebody have used Sekamini nuclear in the Middle East, know that Africa is near. But them, they have chemicals also to counter, they have medication. You will just find out that people are born deformed here, but you do not really know what the cost of those things. We must really be paid, especially the contributors to greenhouse gases. Because if France is a custodian of Paris Agreement, and the direction of green energy, why does it have to deploy its jet fighter? Why is a producer of the best jets in the world? Why does it have to deploy its jet fighters? Are those jet fights using green energy? Or are we also going to come to the point of using green energy when you're using weapons? Just a matter of concern. Are we also coming to the drones using green energy? But at the end of the day, it's destruction. There's nothing good coming from war. Because, it's destroying not only the infrastructure, not only people, not only the environment, but can completely change the whole equation, the whole formula. And that of what happened or what is happening in Iran will have an impact to the world in the next 100 years. Look what we are dealing with, even currently what we are dealing with in Namibia, the issue of genocide, for example. You realize to say sometimes something that can be done within a year or 2 years can really have a long-term impact on the people. People are still divided in Namibia because of genocide. People are still divided. The world is still disorganized because of 1945. The world is still disorganized because of, DRC war. But it's political decisions. It's what the big boys of politics do. And Maponga indicated that we must not get involved. Let us focus on building. Let us focus on producing food, because after they done fighting, they will come to us. But yeah, let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to look at the Villager newspaper for today. What is in the Villager newspaper? What are you expecting? Then from there, we're going to look at Kulani, especially the chief operating officer, that is Ms. Tinga Ntanani.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otula evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe ibali hea di nola natu hea di bali no hea ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
staff. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 15 minutes past the hour of 7, and we understand that some of you are waking now. You are waking up now, and some of you have already arrived at work. Some of you are zipping your coffee, and you also find out that there are still those who are sleeping. But why are you sleeping at 16 minutes past 7 on a Friday morning, where you have an economy to build? Where do you think your kids are going to eat from? Where do you think your wife is going to eat from? And where do you think, your partner will get, beautiful dresses and, also those beautiful, honeymoon gifts from? Because you need to be awake. You need to wake up and, make sure that you do the best. Do your best and go home. Just wake up and do your best and go home. That consistency will always work out. If you are a cleaner, go and clean. clean, be the cleanest clean. If you are a security guard, don't just be a disorganized guard. There are people that you see that really respect their job, and you really see that this guy, when it comes to national development, he's contributing. And you find, and not really to speak bad, if you are a cleaner, you are the same as a military official. You are the same as, if you are a security guard, you are the same as a military official. You are the same as a police officer. You are a respected person in the society, and you need to be fit and they do your job to the best of your abilities. You know, you go to government building, you just find cleaner sleeping. Security guard sleeping. Who's protecting the economy if you are sleeping? You just find a guy with a car radio and sleeping, and you're asking yourself to say, really, this guy is just passing time. There's nothing new that the person is learning. But you also find those who are very active patrolling. And you understand and you respect what they do. But if we speak about competency and effectiveness, we should not only go to people who are at offices or people who are at on site. Let's look at also those who are protecting the economy. If you ever just think differently and look at God to say, no, this one, even if somebody ran, can this person even catch me? Can this person even block? Or is it just a cyborg threat? But really we need to make sure that, we are intentional about what we do. We are intentional about the deployment of those who are going to work in Namibian economic building. Because sometimes the weakness in the system can come to a place that you undermine, can come from a person that you really undermine. Don't just go to work and you say, no, me, I'm just a cleaner. I'm just an administrator. I'm just a guard. I'm just driving. No, you must be intentional. And there are people who impress you, people who love what they do. But you can't be sleeping, honestly. We know things are very tough, but you can't be sleeping now. Wake up and do your best. Unless you are coming from work and you are resting now. Because we do not have enough time. Just imagine we were in 2002 and we are hearing on the radio Vision 2030, the president of Namibia, Sam Nujoma, by that time indicated or presented a Vision 2030, which is indicating that in 30 years' time, Namibia is going to be, an industrialized country, globally competitive. People are going to be advanced in terms of science and technology, and we are hearing these things. But where are we now? We are in 2026. We are not just in 2026. We are 3 months into 2026, and 2027 is next year. Then from there, finito, we are in 2030. If we keep on speaking about inequality has been spoken about since 2009 there. You know, World Bank indicated that Namibia is upper middle income country, and all these things have been presented, and but the inequality continue to persist. Poverty is a monster. Until even we created the Ministry of Poverty Eradication. But have we eradicated any inch of poverty? I doubt not. But we are trying. We are trying. So, you must be able to be awake. And let us not only not blame those who are not implementing NDP-6, but we must know our role. Maybe our role we're not defined very well in NDP-6, but we must also move parallel, in line with the national developmental priorities. So, when you look at the Villager newspaper for today, when you read the Villager newspaper for today, especially if you look on top of the page, this stated that the country fails to adequately collect from gold mines. And they stated that between 2020 to 2023, it was found that Namibia failed to adequately collect tax from gold mining in line with its production. This according to the Office of the Auditor General through the recent performance report, which found that the Minister of Mines, Directorate of Mines in the Namibia Revenue, which found that the Minister of Mines and Director of Mines and the Namibia Revenue Agency did not sufficiently collect tax from gold mines in the country. Which gold mines do you know in the country? Look at the performance report by the Office of Auditor General. And I'm always asking myself to say, how does our Auditor General feel, really, when he stated one thing, but we completely do the other thing? Tate Kanjeka has been speaking. He has been giving presentation and report to say, guys, where is the money? Guys, you are not reporting. But people are just quiet. And the man is doing his job. You cannot blame him. He can even come to the point. There was a point to say, no, certain ministry, they return the money. Or there is millions of money which were used and accounted for. And people in Namibia, we are just quiet. We are going as business as usual. How do you feel? And you guys are giving gray hairs to our auditors general. Do you think he's happy looking at these numbers? There's nobody who can act on that. And the auditors general report is always being presented, and there's always no good news coming from there. Yes, some institutions, they get unqualified auditors statements. But majority, the public sector, the SOEs, you'll be shocked. That is what is stated. The job was not done. What happened to that? Money not collected. Money is lost. Money that was supposed to build schools. Money that was supposed to send us to trainings. And money that was supposed to bridge that inequality gap. It's already lost like that. And what can we do? Maybe if you look at what needs to be done, particularly with lawmaking, is to make sure that every policy, particularly which is in line with compliance, there is an enforcement mechanism that is being done. There is a compliance enforcement mechanism that is being done. If you don't do this, what happened to you? You can't do that in Iran. You can't do that in other countries. You can't do that in Burkina Faso, in other countries. But in Namibia, we're just saying, no, David, you are this director, but there is money here which we are not accounted for. I'll just say, oh, okay, not accounted for, yeah, I see. The end of the story. Auditor is saying, no, there is 100 million which was unauthorized used. Who used that unauthorized money? Those were the questions we're supposed to, but I think we have a lot of problems. That's why we are just picking which one to deal with. But yeah, let us read that, especially page 1 and 2. It's an article by Dwight Links. And, looking at page 3, it stated that 5,800 renewable energy systems financed by SORA Revolving Fund. There's an article by Hinomino Vari Hangala that is looking at SORA Revolving Fund to say, when it comes to SORA Revolving Fund, how much was put on the table, around 177 million, especially to look at renewable energy system in that ground and ready. I think these are some of the things that ECB was speaking about to say, bridging that gap of cost of electricity through renewable energy would be a way. But when are we going to end those to the grid? When are we going to end, renewable energy to the grid? And also the question is the consistency too and the sustainability. Because it's one thing to come up with a project, it's the other thing to be for that project to be sustainable. But yeah, it's a Friday. If you look at page 4, it's an indication that when we speak about Woman Block supermarkets, and the celebration of Namibia 36 years, and understand that there is a sale from Woman Block there, because when it comes to next week, next week Saturday, or next weekend Saturday after the weekend which is starting today, you will be able to understand that Namibia is going to be 36. We are not young anymore. The country is growing every day. Countries such as the USA have over 200 years. Countries such as Iran have over 2,000 years. As we are 36, we are no more young. We are still going to join adulthood. And from there, we should really reflect on where we come from as a country, particularly transiting from being a youthful country. And this says a lot to say, 36 years, and look at where we are. So, in that aspect, get the content, look at what Woman Block is selling, especially speak about real good chicken, 1.5 kg at $79.99. Speak about Bokomo Fat Cook wheat flour, 10 kg at $137. Get the time and read the Villager newspaper. Page 5, you'll be able to get that Rundu development not matching population boom. And an article by my colleague Anakreta there, who indicated that it's come to development in Rundu. Yes, there is development in Rundu, but it's not matching the population. It's like you have infrastructure, but are they matching the population? Yes, there is an article by Peniambeko Jonas that is looking at the budget dialogue, highlights rooms for growth and investment. Must always be positive in that ground. Say there is room for growth and investment, and that is the content of the conversation. So there's industrial briefs that is looking at IOM Su Garmin over Etosha National Park. IOM Su Garmin over Etosha National Park, and yeah, let us look at Express Credit, then from there we'll look at Kulani.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
ShopRite's Price Round Down is here for 1 week only, where saving is winning. Save up to 40% on homeware, small appliances, outdoor and groceries. Like 20-liter Essentials black or white manual microwave oven, only 800 Namibian dollars each. And 12-piece Spring Flower or Finesse white dinner set for only 199 Namibian dollars per set. Offers valid until 15 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Yeah, it's 30 minutes past the hour of 7. So indicated we'll be able to look at the conversation with Kulani Energy Chief Operating Officer, that is Ms. Tinga Netanani, especially when she will be speaking about unlocking Africa potential with renewable energy. Stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are now joined by Tinga Netanani of Kulani Energy, who is the Chief Operating Officer over at Kulani Energy. Tinga, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you, and thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. So let's get right into it. If you can, let's just start with, if you can give us an overview of your career journey and what prepared you to lead Kulani Energy as the Chief Operating Officer during this phase of growth and expansion.
Well, I guess I wouldn't say there was one event that prepared me. Mm-hmm. I have been in business for more than 20 years. It is a journey that started in 2005 when I decided to leave corporate and start my own consultancy in the built infrastructure space as an environmental engineer offering consulting services in the sustainability space, predominantly for mining, for the mining sector, and a little bit of work in the government space, servicing the water infrastructure, roads, etc. And through those engagements and the kinds of projects and the kind of people that you meet along the way, you are somehow chiseled year by year to get to where I am now, where I am able to run an organization of this a nature, where we are providing specialized EPC or engineering procurement and construction services to the renewable energy and power sector as a whole. Yes.
A well-qualified individual. Kulani Energy is a special company, seeing that it is recognized as a wholly black women-owned company operating in this energy infrastructure space. How was the company established, and what does its project track record say about its execution capability?
Okay, so Kulani Energy, I own it with my co-founder, who is also our CEO. Her name is Kurisani Mashele. Mm-hmm. We started out in the early 2000s. I've already indicated I started my consultancy in 2005.
Yeah.
It was also around the same time that she was starting her engineering consultancy firm. And it was a chance meeting where we were introduced by a mutual a individual that used to consult for Buri and used to consult for my side as well. Yes. And he engaged with both of us around the same time. And his view was, I need to meet Kurisani. And he believed that if we met, we would be able to work together. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure you've heard people saying we met and it was love at first sight. But for us, it was work at first sight.
Yes.
I still remember the day I met Kurisani and we had a chat, and this gentleman had introduced us, and we could just tell that we were aligned in terms of our vision. Mm-hmm. And we decided there and then on the spot that we were going to work together. So we worked together on an ad hoc basis. Mm-hmm. Since I think that year it was 2008, we worked ad hoc. So she would provide engineering services on my projects, and equally I would provide sustainability related services on her projects. And fast forward to around 2011, which is when Kulani Energy was born. It was around the same time that our government was also rolling out the renewable energy program, calling for the private sector to come and help them implement renewable energy projects in the country.
Yeah.
And that is around the same time when Kurisani was also taking a break and she was traveling overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And while there, she learned about this renewable energy program, and she learned from EPCs that are based in Spain that they are going to be entering the South African market. And being an entrepreneur, she was able to obviously find herself in that conversation. And that is how we ended up participating in the renewable energy program as a local contracting or EPC entity. And that's how our journey was started. So Kulani Energy as a company was registered in 2011. Mm-hmm. However, us, the co-founders, have been walking the journey since 2005. So you could say that that was the genesis. And it is also important to give you a little bit of a profile of what we were able to do in those early days. Yeah. We were one of the local companies that partnered, obviously, with the international contractors, and we built three PV plants, two times 75 megawatt mm-hmm. plants, and 100 megawatt CSP. So between us, we have about 250 capacity that we have built. We were also one of the very first company to establish a quality control laboratory in the country to test PV modules. And that talks to our resilience and our innovative nature as a company and as an entrepreneurs as well. Yeah.
No, it's a wonderful story and show us the power of networking. You never know who you're going to meet and what role they're going to play in your life in the future.
Totally. Yes.
So now, speaking of renewable energy, it's a big topic of conversation in the region and the continent, really, as a whole, with billions being invested in the sector. What are your thoughts on renewable energy being the key to unlocking Southern Africa's energy access problems?
I don't think you can address that question without touching on the abundance of renewable sources mm-hmm. in the African continent as a whole. Obviously, we are in the southern part. We will tend to speak to that. Yeah. But I should also not forget that I'm being interviewed by a radio station in Namibia yes. where you have an abundance of solar irradiation. Mm-hmm. And we need to ensure that we use our natural resources to our benefit. And there is a school of thought, obviously, that tends to counter the renewables and whether or not they are good for the continent and how do we implement the just energy transition when the bulk of our continent sits without electricity. Yes. And if you look at where the traditional fossil fuel led kind of energy sources have led us to this far, mm-hmm. there is an opportunity for both to coexist and help the population of Africa as a whole and most specifically Southern Africa. And when you talk renewable energies, you can start talking about microgrids, for instance. Mm-hmm. In South Africa, how our energy generation landscape is set up is that the generation capacity is more concentrated closer to the source. And the power stations were built where the coal deposits were. With that, it means that to evacuate the power from where you are generating it, you now have to build a network to dispatch the power from the generation a source to where it is needed. And that takes investment. Mm-hmm. And that is why you would hear in South Africa, we have grid constraints. Because power was not being generated where it is needed. It was generated where the fossil fuels or the inputs into the generation processing plant were. Mm-hmm. With the renewable energy, it is a different story altogether. You are able to have microgrids where you generate the power where it is needed, closer to communities, closer to your major users of that power. Yeah. You then have less requirements on the evacuation infrastructure. And by evacuation infrastructure, I'm talking to transmission lines mm-hmm. and substations to get it to where it is needed. So there is an opportunity and equally, it is an opportunity for entrepreneurs like ourselves who are coming up with solutions but also with the execution capacity of making sure that we bring power to the people where they are. And I am one of the leaders of a company that doesn't believe in one energy source, for instance. Mm-hmm. For us, we are technology and sector agnostic. What that means is that we are in the power sector. We are able to build infrastructure to evacuate that power from a generator, whether that generator is fossil led or renewable energy led. The capacity of Gulani Energy is such that we are able to build complex power evacuation and transmission infrastructure.
Yes, yes.
Don't know if I have just, yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. So what I'm getting from you is that renewable energy is more, it's more of a mobile power source compared to the traditional methods.
Yeah, I wouldn't use mobile, but yes, you can take it to where it is needed.
Yeah,
And we call it embedded generation. So for instance, you could have a factory that has a requirement of 50 megawatts power output. Mm-hmm. And next to it, there is a piece of land where the dynamics are such that you can build a project that is viable. So you are building a generator next to where it is needed.
Yeah.
Going into the future, though, you don't necessarily have to have the generator next to where it is needed. When you use technology and innovation, we will be able to trade power from Namibia to South Africa. We will be able to trade power across regions, across countries. So, but the renewable energy space does offer you more options.
Yeah. Mm. And so, Gulani Energy recently secured a contract to participate in a 100 megawatt solar PV project in Guinea. So, mm-hmm. with that said, is Namibia on Kulani's radar for future projects as well?
Definitely. Guinea is very far from South Africa and Namibia, and you are our neighbors.
Yeah.
So strategically, we wouldn't be able to look at Guinea and not see the opportunities that our neighbors or our neighboring countries present for us.
Mm-hmm.
The company that we have acquired, luckily and fortunately for us, has a track record in Namibia.
Okay.
So definitely, Namibia is on our radar. We are, in fact, currently also bidding for some of the work already in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be visiting Namibia very soon to solidify those relationships, to make sure that the Namibian players know that Opti Projects, which is the newly acquired former Marion Roberts EPC firm, is ready and re-energized for business.
Eshi wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no wewe yako fikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimo shipaket. Top score instant. Oyaita pwefinda no talishambula lokushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo unengo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu obo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha ko ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vilimwe Namibia oshipu ne ngono lando kashako ko KG imwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi longwa shiche, ndeto SMS o shicha instant. Totumu kombali o neveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, otali kulumo milongo na tunali mwe amaricha, mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu, odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Yeah, we continue with the conversation with Ms. Tinga Netanani from Gulani Energy. And she's the chief operating officer, particularly when she's speaking about unlocking Africa potential with renewable energy.
Yes, and Namibia is definitely on our radar, and we do have the capability and the know-how and the experience on the ground in Namibia, in country, to be able to execute on the project.
Excellent, excellent. We will be eagerly awaiting your arrival here in Namibia. And so... So now, speaking of Opti, with Gulani Energy's recent acquisition of key Opti Power assets, which prioritize preserving technical skills and sector capabilities, What does a continent need from a human capital perspective to maximize the renewable energy opportunity?
It is a very interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
And wearing my hat here at Gulani, I would obviously dissuade more towards the technical capability in terms of the human element of it.
Yes.
But before you even get to the technical, which is the execution capacity, we need a policy framework that is conducive for business and for us to be able to provide power to the masses that do not have that power or access to in the continent. So it starts at a policy level. I had the advantage or fortunate opportunity to attend the Energy Indaba conference last week in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a number of delegates from the different African countries. And the theme there was the cross-border collaboration, developing or drafting policy that allows for the different countries to collaborate from a power generation, power trading, infrastructure development that supports the power sector. So it starts there. And then when you have now at government level or at sovereign level developed that framework that is conducive, you now have to look at the technical ability to be able to execute on the ground. So it will take a lot of building capacity, which is already scarce because it requires a scarce skill set, which doesn't come easily. And when you do not have projects being deployed, unfortunately, you also lose the opportunity to train up and coming engineers, project managers, construction managers in the sector. So we are going to need a plan that is sustainable, that is bankable, where you know that Namibia, for instance, in the next 10 years, this is what they have planned in the power or energy space as an infrastructure build program. And 10 years is being conservative. I would even say 20 years, because then you are able to build a business centered around servicing this sector for the next 20 years. Mm. But if we are going to be short-term led, where you have, I would have, sporadic projects, but there's no plan. I'm unable to plan as a business to build that technical capacity. So for me, that is what we need as a sector. We need governments, we need private sector to come up with a plan to say in the next 20 years, just as we have the same plan in South Africa, this is what we are going to be doing. We are going to be building in the next 3 or 5 years, 14,000 kilometers of transmission lines.
Mm-hmm.
Then you are able to plan and you are able to train, knowing very well that you will have opportunities to work. But if those plans are not put into action, then you have white elephants that either we will, have to close our doors, or we just struggle along not adding capacity from a human resource point of view.
100%. Dinga, thank you very much for your insights and time. I know you're a very busy person, so we greatly appreciate you giving us your insights and time today.
Thank you, and I cannot wait to build something in Namibia.
Yes, yes. Like I said, we're eagerly awaiting your arrival.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Miss Tinga Netanani from Gulani Energy. And speaking about unlocking Africa potential with renewable energy, we cannot wait to host her in Namibia. And it's very important and it's very necessary, especially when you listen from an expert who indicated that from the perspective of futuristic approach, particularly when it's coming to dealing with energy. You need collaboration. And she indicated and emphasizing the point that was made during the mining in Durban to say, why are we operating in silo? Why are we making policies that are unaccommodative to the way we deal with, our neighbors, or the way we deal with international partners? That is why we are busy reviewing, we are busy analyzing, we are busy drafting, because we have different approaches on dealing with people. That is why the aspect of collaboration, particularly policymakers collaborating, because if there is a content-based sustainable policy that allow Namibia to cooperate with South Africa, particularly in terms of building of infrastructure, You know, no wonder we are fighting with Lesotho indirectly, and we are angry with Lesotho actually. Just to put it out there to say we are not happy with Lesotho when it built its biggest dam. That is also in line with renewable energy. But had we cooperated together, had we worked together in terms of expanding those infrastructure, then we would do better. Maybe it's also the reason that we are not moving forward, because we have continued doing the same thing for a very long time, especially when it's coming to renewable energy. Renewable energy might be the way, but can we do it alone? Are we going to, and you must ask yourself this question to say, are we going to do renewable energy because of money, or because we really want to solve the problem? Are we going to do renewable energy just because of project, or we really want to solve the problem? Yeah, she indicated to say it's only collaboration that can allow us to move forward. And I think that was the best mining in Dampa. I cannot, and if you listen to it, you have to continue reviewing it, because where you see African leaders and experts, and you know, when yesterday I was at the ECB, there's something which came to my mind, and I was speaking with, there's one beautiful lady, very intelligent, whose name is not going to be mentioned. We're having a discussion. Then there's a point I mentioned to say, man, when I look at this thing, I think the government have lost a lot of expert to SOEs and also to private sector. And when you listen to the content of these engineers, these economists, yes, they are maybe in the same line, but you think this is where the people are supposed to move things. This way, the people are supposed to advise our directors, our ministers, and because these guys are professionals, they are experts. When it's the same conversation that you look into when you go to the bank and you speak to people. When you look at cybersecurity experts, for example, you go to the bank, you listen to the economists, you realize to say, what can we do to make sure that the public sector is so accommodative and attract the best out of the best? Particularly when you want to move the country, because public sector, being the main employer, is also the main driver, either it's on policy issues or making the ground so conducive. And I started thinking, this way the guys were supposed to be directly in the public sector, operating within those sectors, and I think we have lost a lot of people to private sector and to NGO, but that should not be the case. To say professional must be across the board, especially in the issue of energy. You just hear somebody was working in public sector, then a person become a consultant. Somebody was working in public sector, a person is at a bank. The same thing with ACC. There is one thing that I should not take away from ACC. ACC, Anti-Corruption Commission, is the best producer of experts. That thing that your lecturer is always telling you when you're at university, to say, no, companies are going to fight for you. I think that is one thing that Noah should tell his colleagues, to say, no, companies will fight for you. Every private sector agency, they want somebody from ACC. Believe me, these guys they have temptation. They are being offered a lot of money because they are well-trained. They are experts. If you want to say that they know things, look at the way they deal with the senior counsels and advocates from South Africa. Then you understand that, they are. But losing those people to private sector also means that the government will continue to struggle. also mean that the agencies will continue to struggle. But in terms of renewable energy, the point I'm taking is collaboration. It's policy conducive and collaborative. And also touch on connecting the grid. So let's take one caller, and we can call it a morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Yes.
How are you?
Good. How are you, Tatembwana?
Fine.
No, before you, just one word. I wanted to ask you, where does that surname come from? Are you from Tanzania?
Bwana.
Yeah.
Bwana is an African name.
Is it Swahili, ne?
Yes, it's Swahili.
I thought you are the grandson of Meme Samia.
Yeah,
yeah, Martin. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, just two minutes, ne? Because that the mic.
2 minutes is enough.
Okay.
Cross board collaboration.
Mm.
The same thing that you have been talking about here.
Mm.
A good vehicle to climb up in that area is public-private partnership. And that has been open for us for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You see how people are networking, collaborating.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, the vehicles are open, the avenues are open for us here, so especially when it comes to renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
Why did those people get connected? Just in the meetings and things like that, and they start working together, cooperating their ideas together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also not sure whether there is a retention plan or policy to retain the competent people within the organization.
But is there right also? You cannot stop them. You just need to make it... attractive and conducive, and ask yourself a question, why are they going?
Yes, that's the reason why. Mm. So you put a package that can retain them. If you say now you don't have a package to retain them,
it's not even just about the package, it's also about the way you deal with issue. If you are taking 2 years to implement something that could have been implemented 3 months, or you are still discussing on committees where this person wants to work, do you really think a person will stay?
Yes.
So people don't leave because of package, yeah.
No, make the environment conducive.
Yeah.
Make the package more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the issues that will help you to retain the ones that you are losing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just obvious.
Okay, thank you
very much.
All right. Yeah, that brings us to the end of our conversation. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the Big Mac to unpack the day. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. And enjoy your weekend. Take care of yourself. Don't do what you don't want to do. And listen to your friends, especially if you go out. Listen to your friends. Don't say, I know what I'm doing. I know my car. It will not end up well. But bye-bye. See you around.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody?
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana na longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifaregi uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.